I'm Carol Cohn, and welcome to Purpose 360, the podcast that unlocks the power of purpose to ignite business and social impact. I am so excited about today's episode. I'm a great lover of the outdoors and nature and environment. And today I'm going to have a wonderful conversation with Connor Leopold, who is a senior manager for the Scuba Pro business unit of the Johnson Outdoors Company. Now, you may not know specifically about Johnson Outdoors, but if you go camping, if you go fishing, if you love watercraft, or you're a scuba diver, I bet you have many of their products. And what's so fabulous about the company and their products is not only are they infused with tremendous innovation, but they are also infused with a genuine passion for nature. And that's throughout their products, their programs, and across their manufacturing. Founded in 1970, Johnson Outdoors has not only fostered a sense of awe for the natural world, but has also been a dedicated advocate for the preservation of our outdoor shared spaces. Their mission goes beyond creating these wonderful products. They also believe it's their responsibility to make the world a better place. One of the standout initiatives at Johnson Outdoors is the Clean Earth Challenge, a global employee program that we had the honor to co-create with them. And this has truly inspired their employees because they have gained an impressive 92% participation rate around the globe. So join us as we dive, pun intended, into the rich history of Johnson Outdoors with my special guest, Connor Leopold. So whether you're an outdoor enthusiast or simply someone who appreciates the beauty of nature, this episode is sure to inspire and motivate you to connect even further with the great outdoors. So grab your gear, embrace the call of the wild, and let's get started. So welcome to the show, Connor.
Thank you. I appreciate the invite.
I always like to start with, like, who is Connor Leopold? So can you talk a little bit about your work, a little bit about why you love your work? So just let our listeners know who you are and a bit about Johnson Outdoors.
Yeah, thanks again, Carol, for the invite. I'm really happy to be here. Yeah, so you said my name is Connor Leopold. I'm, you know, originally from Racine, Wisconsin, and that's also where I currently work, like you said, at Johnson Outdoors. Taking a little bit of a step back, before working at Johnson Outdoors, I worked at SC Johnson, which is another family company within my family. And I gained really great experience there in sort of that larger CPG world. I focused specifically in marketing, which is really my area of interest. And that's where I currently work right now within Johnson Outdoors. So right now I work in diving. That's our diving business unit, as the senior brand manager for Scuba Pro, which is really our sole diving brand. It's been, yeah, a great experience and an awesome team here. I think, like you said, I you know, love being in the outdoors. I am a scuba diver, which has really helped me learn the business, learn the products, and help really tell that story of, you know, why the consumer should look at Scuba Pro for their diving needs. So, I think I should also mention, I had sort of a unofficial role as a spokesperson for Johnson Outdoors, where I have the pleasure of representing the company. This is a great example of me being able to talk about Johnson Outdoors, which I'm really happy to do that.
Can you just share all the different brands and divisions? Because you are deeply involved in the outdoors in many different categories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Johnson Outdoors is made up of four business units. So we have, it's diving, and that's where I work right now. And within diving, Scuba Pro is really the main brand. Watercraft, that's where we have Old Town canoes. That's our main brand. We also, it's really Old Town Watercraft because we make fishing kayaks as well. And then camping, Jet Boil is our main camping brand. And then fishing. Fishing is our largest business unit, and that's made up of really three main brands, and that's Minn Kota Trolling Motors, Humminbird Fish Finders, and Canon Downriggers. So really, when you look at Johnson Outdoors, we're made up of four business units, and we play in some pretty awesome spaces in the outdoors.
You know, listeners, if you're an outdoors person, Johnson Outdoors is the real deal. And you know, for me, when I was in camp a gazillion years ago, Old Town canoes were the canoe. And it's fascinating to see how modern canoes can be today, you know, with some of your innovations. One of the core aspects, which I love about the company, because probably almost 100% of your employees are avid outdoors people. And because of that, you are constantly dedicated to innovation.
Innovation is really one of our main values at Johnson Outdoors. And I think that's really how it's put our company at the forefront, honestly, in all the markets that we participate in. And you made a good point. Like I said, I work in marketing. I'm one of the brand managers. And, you know, as we look at the different categories that we have products for, we're always thinking about, you know, the next best thing. You know, how do we differentiate our product out there against the competition? And it's always from a premium aspect, honestly, to see, you know, what does the consumer want? And how can we fulfill that need? No, I think listening to our consumers is something that Johnson Outdoors does a great job doing, and that's how we've been able to sort of be the leader of the pack for a while now. You know, I think, like you mentioned, you know, all of our businesses are involved in innovation, or you know, one way or another. So, watercraft side, again, you mentioned Old Town canoes. You're right. There's only so much you can do with the canoe, but we find a way to make kind of have that premium plus attribute associated with it. I think also in that same aspect, you know, we have really became part of the fishing kayak world as well. Pedal kayaks, e-pedal kayaks. So we have some really interesting product out there. You know, on the Scuba Pro side, we are absolutely a premium diving brand, and we make sure our product are really at that level of performance and, you know, what our consumers are looking for during their dive experiences. Yeah, in the end, you know, innovation is really important, and that's something we'll continue to focus on. And you know, our employees know the importance too of having that premium aspect, and that's what we're going to keep doing in the future.
And I love that in your materials you talk about, we take pride in what we do because we do what we love. And so I'd love to just dive a little bit, dive no pun intended, into your purpose. And so your purpose statement, and I love it, our passion for the outdoors creates a positive impact on the lives of more people and more communities for generations to come. You know, how does that make you feel to be in a company that is driving, you know, thriving on passion and truly gets it that you are part, you are integrated into the outdoors for good, for people and communities?
You know, that has been our purpose for a long time, really since I'd say the founding of our company. You know, in the end, what we want to do, you know, as a company is inspire people to get out there and experience the great outdoors. And also, of course, have a great experience using our products. But it really, that is a core value of Johnson Outdoors and has been since our founding. And it's interesting, a lot of our employees in each business, they already participate in, you know, the products that they help make for that business. Like I said, so I'm in the diving group right now. On our marketing team, just about every single person dives. So I know that for a fact, because that's the team I'm on. You know, I'm more of the technical side, and our R&D group within diving, they absolutely all dive. And a lot of them are honestly used to own dive dealerships. Some of them are dive masters. So, you know, I think that just goes right back to, you know, our employees believing in that same value and the importance of, you know, getting people outside.
I know that throughout, there's a through line in the entire history of the company about a sincere commitment to the environment. How does that make you feel to be one part of that legacy? And then also, what sticks in your mind from your grandfather and your great-great-grandfather and his great-great-grandfather that truly is something that is constant with you today?
It's very amazing to be part of a family company. I think, you know, a lot of, I guess, advantages come with that on the business side. But I think more importantly, I think it's helped keep the same values from our founding and make sure those values are constant to today. And I could talk maybe a little bit of background about Johnson Outdoors. So I think, like you mentioned, it was founded by my grandfather, Sam Johnson, in 1970. You know, he had a huge impact on SC Johnson, tremendous impact. But I think of him, you know, of course, as a business leader, but I think even more so, simply an avid outdoorsman. And I really do think, because he loved being in the outdoors, that's why Johnson Outdoors exists today. On the business side as well, I mean, he had, you know, numerous accolades and awards. I mean, there's a few I thought, you know, were important to list. You know, he was a founding member of the World Business Council for Sustainable Development, appointed by President Clinton to the U.S. President's Council on Sustainable Development in 93. He was also inducted to the U.S. National Business Hall of Fame. So, I mean, these are important awards, and I think they are notable and should be mentioned. But, you know, I really do think of him as an outdoorsman. And also, and I think you were tying to this, you know, he really did care about the environment. Like he really cared about making a positive impact on the environment and that our brands do the same. So from there, you know, my mom, Helen Johnson Leopold, is the current chairman and CEO. And has been since 1999. And I can promise you that she has those same values that her dad, that her father had. And she, you know, makes sure that those values are alive today and something that the company focuses on.
Of the values, are there one or two that truly, you know, they're always there. They're always in the back of your mind, especially the way Johnson Outdoors creates its products with superior design, but low impact on the environment.
Yeah. And that's important. You know, I think this goes back to our innovation process. You know, in the end, innovation will always be at the forefront of what we do. But at the same time, we will never lose, as you could say, lose sight of the environmental impact that our products will have in the end and to our end consumer. So just, you know, a few examples. I know, like on the Jetboil stash system side. So again, these are camping, sort of portable camping and hiking stoves. So I know, you know, it has 100% plastic free stove system for the consumers. You know, on the ScubaPro side that I know pretty well is that we have a relatively new dive wear wetsuit that is made from plant-based foam and, you know, natural rubber is neoprene. So it's, you know, it's something, you know, that we always have kind of in our heads as we put together new products. You know, it's part of our sort of official new product development process here at Johnson Outdoors. But I think even more so than that, you know, our employees care for the environment. And, you know, even if it wasn't part of, you know, the technical process, I mean, it'll be something that they make sure is known.
Yeah, that's a great segue to the Clean Earth Challenge. So I know that Johnson Outdoors, you make superior products so that people will enjoy and be inspired by the outdoors. But when we first met you, there was a desire by Johnson Outdoors to do more, to get your employees engaged in some way collectively around the globe, but also to get ultimately consumers engaged. So can you talk about the Clean Earth Challenge? Because you have blown through your goals. It's very, very exciting. And I also have to say, and we'll put it in the show notes again, when you go to the Johnson Outdoors website, you know a company is committed to its social and environmental impact when it has a major, major piece of real estate on the front page of your website. And it does. So let's talk about the excitement of the Clean Earth Challenge.
Yeah. And yeah, thank you for bringing it up. So a little bit of background, and this actually, you know, ties back to my grandfather. So again, like I said, you know, the importance placed on caring for the environment was, you know, something that he really did believe in. You know, he had somewhat of a famous quote for saying, you know, if a check would fix the problem, I would have written that check already. And I think really the point that he was trying to make is that really to make an impactful difference and a positive, you know, sustainable difference on the outdoors. What he was trying to say is that it can't just be from one person, you know, one entity. It really requires this more collective impact approach. And we've talked a lot about this internally and externally, honestly. This idea of working with a group of people, group of organizations, really committed to to one goal and working in the same direction. And so I think that's really a great way to go about it. That's how, you know, us here at Johnson Outdoors, that's how we wanted to go about forming a new program. You know, we really do think that this accumulation, in a way, a positive action is really the difference maker. And that's how we really work towards the one goal. So this leads into the Cleaner Challenge. And I think this idea is really the basis for the Cleaner Challenge of partnerships, you know, utilizing people, utilizing organizations to work towards that goal and at scale, which is important. I think that's how you really make, you know, a difference in the end. Yeah. And that's really the big element of the Cleaner Challenge is that it's, you know, a program of cleanups, but by working with people, you know, our employees, you know, other stakeholders, partners like the National Wildlife Federation, I can, you know, touch on in a second, was really important in, you know, meeting our goals and kind of blowing past our goals in a way. And that coordination of different groups is really what helped us kind of make progress. I think another important point too is that, you know, how we thought about it is that in the end, you know, maybe these individual cleanups aren't exactly going to save the world or anything, but I think it's one, of course, it's making a positive impact, but I think it's also about changing someone's mindset too about
change behavior.
About what they can do when they're just in their local neighborhood and really just the positive impact that comes from cleaning up trash, you know, on the ecosystem that they love to participate in. So that's all, that's sort of the basis that formed the Cleaner Challenge.
And you set some pretty aggressive goals. And I think that what we saw, you know, was that the teams of starting out with your various employees and at manufacturing plants and different places around the globe, it just seemed to just take off. Right now, you're what approaching, I think for Earth Day, you want to reach 4 million pieces. I know on the website you said we're on the road to 5 million. I mean, that's significant because you don't have a very large employee base. So can you share a story or two about, you know, you launched it, it's growing on its own.
Whenever you start a new program, right, I think in the end, you're not really sure how it's going to go and how it's going to land, you know, when you're really at the beginning phases of creating something new. So, and I do think it touches back to what you noted earlier about, you know, honestly, a lot of our employees, they're already avid adventurers. I feel like, you know, because they already love being in the outdoors, I think they have this sort of natural ownership over the product, but also over, you know, this idea of making a positive impact, making sure, you know, what they love to do outside is still there for future generations. I mean, that's something that I think they realize is important. So what, you know, what we found is honestly when they had the opportunity to be engaged in this, especially in their own communities, they really jumped at it. And this was, you know, globally. So global locations, you know, we had awesome cleanups from, of course, Racine, where we're headquartered, Italy, Germany, Switzerland, Bataan, Indonesia, Hong Kong. So we really were able to have some really awesome cleanups. And, you know, we even sort of after that first year, we surveyed participants last year. We found that 87% said they feel more hopeful and that they think they can make a difference through their actions. And I think it just all had to do with going outside and being engaged in that type of an activity. I was able to participate in a few of these cleanups. Personally, for me, it really gave me the opportunity to really see the positive action that our employees can do when you give them an opportunity to do so. Also, you know, I was able to meet people that I probably would never have met, whether it was in Minnesota or, you know, the other locations that I was able to participate in.
I know that you looked at lots, because we helped you, of potential partners. And partner selection is an art and a science. And if you find the right one, they truly put wind beneath your wings. And so can you talk a little bit about the process? And that I know that your partner is even added others to join into this. So this is becoming a movement, which is, I know you wanted it to become a movement.
So at the beginning, I think what we wanted to do is that, again, this goes back to this idea of collective impact. You know, we didn't want to just do something on our own. We wanted to work with an organization, a nonprofit organization that has the same values, that feels the same way we do, and work with them on a program. We had about 50 or 60 potential partners at the very beginning that we needed to sift through and think more about. You know, we had a pretty robust set of criteria points that helped us kind of evaluate our partners. And in the end, we ultimately partnered with the National Wildlife Federation. And so they are a large nonprofit, but what we found is that, you know, even though they're a big group and they have a lot of arms for connections, which is great, you know, they really have been very nimble with how we were able to work with them. You know, we have the same values. You know, we even have similar, you know, consumer bases, constituency bases. I know the NWF, they actually have a membership of hunters and anglers.
Very aligned.
Yeah, very aligned. And it's been a great kind of synergistic fit, I guess you could say, in the end. And yeah, they've just been a great partner to help promote the Clean Air Challenge.
Well, that's great. And I love this statistic that your original target was to have 50% of your global locations participate and that your response was 89%.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I guess, you know, that tells the story right there of what our employees believe in and, you know, that they're ready to really step up and kind of take positive action and do something positive for the environment.
I also love that this is not just an Earth Day event.
Right.
This is throughout the year. I'm curious, now that you've been doing this for a number of years, what's a lesson learned either regarding scaling or employee engagement or even counting? Because counting the pieces is also not that easy.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, especially because it's a newer program, you know, we need to make sure we sort of executed it 1 year. And then it was very important that we kind of took a pause and look back and say, you know, how did that go? And what were some of the takeaways? So the very beginning, you know, I think what was important, especially because these were employee coordinated cleanups, we really wanted to tap into our natural leaders within the company. And also those employees that we know just naturally are very interested in, you know, environmental conservation and these types of sustainability programs. So we wanted to make sure they were on board first. And we also kind of bounced ideas off of them. And we got some really great learning. So we talked, you know, worked with them first. You know, we worked, again, we have global offices, so around the world. So we made sure to create a team. We called them challenge champions. So we had a challenge champion team at every location, but it really was a huge help in the end with them, you know, really communicating the values of this program, importantly, the logistics of these cleanups to their kind of employee base, wherever they may have been located. So I think that was really important. I think another point that was really a learning for us was the importance behind really keeping it simple and making sure that it's clearly communicated. So, you know, I think this touches on your point about like picking up trash. Like, how do we really pick up, or I should say, kind of organize all of these items and making sure they're accounted for in the right way. You know, I think at the very beginning, we tried to do that through an app, which did work in some aspects. I think it was a little bit too much of a hurdle for some employees to use the app. Logistically, it was a little bit tough for them to keep track of every single item through an app. So to make it just a little bit more simple, we transitioned to, a paper and a pencil, basically, and they kind of would keep track.
Low tech for the environment. That's great.
Yeah, keep track that way. And also, it was a good way for them to mark what types, the materials of debris that they would pick up, and of course, the number of pieces as well. So, you know, that's how we went about it that way. And I think those repeated cleanups, that kind of brought it to scale. And that's how I think we really found that solution in the end, were those like two aspects of it.
Well, you've done things incredibly smart and it's aligned. I love the fact that you're keeping it simple. that, you know, and you tested and learned. I know that photography is key for you, whether it's beautiful, you know, beautiful done by professional or done by individuals. And you've got lots of great stories on the website too. So you're constantly storytelling. I'd like to shift just a bit because you also, the company writ large, has your own sustainability pillars. And you talked a bit about how the products are constantly being, you know, reviewed in terms of what are their components, you know, lessening packaging, things like that. And I know that you take a philosophy of constantly evolving and learning. So can you share a bit about Johnson Outdoors' approach to sustainability writ large?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, Johnson Outdoors being a family company, right? And that, like I said, it was started by my my grandfather, Sam Johnson. It's now led by my mom, Helen Johnson Leopold. So I think in the end, it starts at the top, right? And starts with leadership. And I think with it being a family company, we're able to hold on to those values from its beginning, from our founding in 1970 as a company. So, you know, I know you're getting in a little bit into the weeds, but the board of directors, I know they've established their own sustainability subcommittee.
That's not weeds. That's important. that's really important. Yeah.
And the important part is I think there has been tangible results, honestly, you know, including we're making progress in, you know, renewable energy projects. I think as you touched on, a reduction of plastics in product packaging, which, you know, it may sound easy, but it's really not easy in the end once you kind of get into the details. And of course, it's something we want to do, but is it really feasible? And that's something we're in the middle of kind of thinking through right now.
And I want to give also some credit to Scuba Pro and your relationship with Moat.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you talk, because Moat is, can you explain to our listeners who is Moat and what's the goal of that relationship? Because it's really important.
Moat Marine Laboratory. They are really a global expert in the science of coral reef restoration. And they have really been a great partner in helping to restore the coral reef system, specifically off the Florida Keys. They also have ties elsewhere around the globe, but they're headquartered in the Florida Keys. So that's sort of their main kind of impact zone, I guess you could say. So they have this expertise, this truly scientific expertise in how to regenerate these coral reef systems. But the big kind of hole, the big part that they're missing is at scale, is really, you know, having divers being able to get into the water and being able to plant these coral specimens that Moat has grown on their inland labs. You know, they need divers to go out and plant these coral reefs off of the Keys. And so that's where Scuba Pro could play a role. You know, we have, of course, tons and tons of consumers throughout the country, and also dive dealers. That, you know, dive dealers are one of our most important customers, I will say, as a brand. And we have some great connections in Florida, specifically in Southern Florida. So, so we're starting this program where we're able to connect, you know, this vast network of dive dealers and those dive dealers, consumers, which is important, to participate in these events. And this event is where, you know, it could be a group of 20 divers. It's really just a 1-day program where half the day is that these divers learn about the basic science of coral reef restoration in Moat's facilities. And then the second half of the day is that they go out truly on a dive and they bring with them the specimens that they took from the inland labs. They go, you know, offshore to these offshore nurseries, they're called, and they plant these specimens. So, I mean, I think it's just a really awesome program that has, you know, so many positives in it. What, you know, getting consumers involved, I mean, collective impact right there. A really engaging program that is not only interesting and fun to do, but it makes a really positive impact in the end.
And I love, again, these are circular ecosystems where you have sustainability at your core. And, you know, then you're finding like-minded partners that share your values that can empower your employees, your distribution systems with your dive shops and such, for example, with Moat, and make a real impact. And again, and also I think it goes way back to the founding principles and values of your family that truly love the outdoors, love the environment, constantly innovating. So kudos to you. Unfortunately, we're getting almost to the bottom of our conversation, which I love. And also, as I live in South Florida, thank you for really tackling this really, really tough problem. I'd love to just ask you, you know, what kind of advice do you have for, you know, a lot of our listeners are going like, oh my God, I want a job like Connor. And no, it's, you know, I don't have a family business to go in, but, you know, how do I prepare? You know, I want to do marketing, but I want marketing that can make a difference, innovation, as well as social impact. Any advice for, you know, younger or career changers?
So first, your purpose, right? So what you're interested in, what you're passionate about. I think like what you touched on, what you want to make an impact in the end. I think that's very important. It's a very, very important kind of starting point to go from there. You know, next, I think, you know, so marketing, for example, and yeah, I think once you kind of jump into that world, right, there's a lot of different aspects to it. So it could be marketing on the branding side, marketing on the more the communication side, or the messaging side. So, you know, I think the best way to go about is try to do your very best to get experiences in each area. You know, what do you like and what do you don't like? So I think it's all about, you know, just trying out what you think you're interested in. And I think in the end, you'll kind of narrow in on what you know you truly want to do in the future.
Yeah, follow your personal passions. So I always love to give my guest the last word. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Connor. It's been a great conversation. You've touched on so many areas that are truly about authentically living a purpose and doing it in all sorts of different ways.
You want to do it in an authentic way. I think, I mean, there are many positives that come from that. You know, here at Johnson Outdoors, that's exactly what we're trying to do. This isn't something that we just truly started on within the last couple of years. I mean, like I've mentioned, this is a core value, this value of, you know, caring for the environment and sustainability, of course, innovation as well. But, you know, these are values that we've had since our founding in 1970. So, you know, I think what's really helped us is that we've been able to sort of touch on that point. And, you know, that it's really been in, you know, in the veins of this company since 1970. That has really helped us communicate the cleaner challenge, some of these other, you know, honestly, external facing communication, sustainability initiatives like the cleaner challenge, but also more internal facing decisions as well. And, you know, more around like sustainability in our facilities, some of the renewable energy projects that we're in the middle of doing now. You know, honestly, I think what's really helped is that we're doing this in an authentic way. So that's a great example from the business side. I think on the personal side, you know, you need to be authentic in whatever you want to do in life, right? Whether that's whatever dreams you want to pursue, relationships you want to pursue, I suppose.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Connor. It's been just a delight to chat with you. You've got an amazing legacy of generations. And truly, I love that you talked about authenticity. But I also want to talk about another A in closing, and that's your use of awe. And I love on your website, you say, since 1970, Johnson Outdoors has encouraged a sense of awe for the great outdoors and inspired preservation of our shared world spaces. So thank you, Connor. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I look forward to seeing the next photos of you underwater in diving, not underwater in business, but underwater in diving in beautiful, beautiful environments. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Carol. And I appreciate it. Thank you for inviting me on the podcast. It's been great.
This podcast was brought to you by some amazing people, and I'd love to thank them. Anne Hundertmark and Kristen Kenny at Carol Cohn on Purpose. Pete Wright and Andy Nelson, our crack production team at True Story FM. And you, our listener, please rate and rank us, because we really want to be as high as possible as one of the top business podcasts available, so that we can continue exploring together the importance and the activation of authentic purpose. Thanks so much for listening.